Good morning. Today's daf in Kiddushin is Chaf Vav. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on the Zech and Nishmas Libi Gabriel Bashmuel. We begin today with the Mishnah Chaf Hamad Beis. And we're talking about kinyanim as it relates to animals. If you've been following the parak well, so you see the progression within the parak. The first mishnah that we started back on Beis Amud Aleph talked about kinyan isha, how to make a kinyan on a wife. Then the mishnah on Yudalid Amud Beis talked about kinyan for Eved Ivri, a kinyan for employment, special type of employment. Couple days ago, we started the Mishnah and the Sugya of Kinyan for an Eved Kenani, and that took us for a couple of days. So we went now from Isha to Eved Ivri to Eved Kenani, and so now we're going down, up, whatever. The Mishnah over here talks about Kinyanim on metatlin, on movable items. So we are starting the Mishnah on Chafei Amud Beis, and the Mishnah begins. Behemagasa. So when you have a large animal, Nikdens Me Mesira, it can be acquired through Mesira. Okay, now when we talk about Mesira, okay, so when we talk about Mesira, if you take a look at Rashi in the Mishnah, so Rashi writes as follows: Nikdens Ben Mesira, Balam Moser Nosa Lokech Bafsar O Bisa'ara, Kedetanya El. So you read Rashi carefully. So Rashi sounds like the way Mesira is going to be done is that you're going to have both parties there. You're going to have the buyer and the seller. And the seller, let's put the seller in front of the buyer. You have the seller and you have the buyer. And what the seller is going to do is that the seller is going to be handing something over to the buyer. That's what it sounds like from Rashi. It could be the afsar, it could be the leash, or it could be the sarah, it could be the hair. Kate's been Mesira v'chule. Ava mishicha lo mekanya de'ein darka bekach lo licha lefano. But Rashi says that when it comes to large animals, so Mashiach is not going to be open for discussion. It's not going to be a means of kinyan because it's not the derech. It's not the way that it's normally done. Okay, so that is Rashi's understanding of Mesira. And when you see from this Rashi is that Mesira goes above Mashiach, meaning that when we're talking about metalton, we're talking about movable items. So there really are three different forms of kinyanim that we could talk about. We could talk about Mesira, which is what was just discussed here in the Mishnah. Hagba'ah. Hagba'ah means taking an item and lifting the item up. And we could talk about Mashicha, and that's pulling an item into your direction. So Rashi says that Mesira will go above Mashicha. There are a couple of interesting tosfim over here that complement this Rashi and discuss this Rashi. If you take a look at the first tosfos on the daf, the first divra maskel tosfos on the daf, behemagas niknas me mesiras perish bekunshus ba'ala mosim osalo kech ba'afsar k'tanya la'el kets me mesira chizah betalafah echul v'echule. Mashma tosfos says if you read Rashi carefully, mitoch l'shono de mesira be'inan miyad liyad. So tosfos over here writes that a careful reading of Rashi leads to the conclusion that when you're doing mesira, so and actually has to be handed over from seller to buyer. Seller's got to hand something over to buyer. V'chein perish Rivam, and the Rivam also says this as well, and Tosas has a discussion of whether or not this is necessary. But anyway, so one point to draw away from Rashi is that the Mesira actually requires both parties to be there. And an active participant in the act of Mesira. That is what Tosas' understanding of Rashi is, and he discusses whether or not he agrees or disagrees with that position. Take a look now at the next Tosfos, same Divra Maschel, and which he discusses another point as well. Behema Gasa Niknes Mimisira. Rashi writes, Perish Pekunshus, Dafka Bimisirva, Bimashicha, Lomikanya, Dein Darka Bekach, Lolicha Lafanov. Okay, so once again, Tosfos quotes Rashi. And now, after having quoted Rashi, where Rashi said that the Mashicha is not going to be effective in terms of how to acquire a large animal because it's not normally done, where you draw a large animal in your direction. Mashmala Perusho, Demisira, Adifa Mimashicha. So now, from Rashi, what it sounds like is that there's a pecking order in terms of how these kinyanim work. And within the pecking order, we're going to put Mesira above Mashicha. Okay, and then Tosfos goes on to discuss this point as well. So basically what comes out now are there are two points that Tosfos draws from Rashi. Again, whether he agrees with Rashi or not, it's his own discussion. We're just focusing on Rashi, on the Mishnah, and Tosfos' conclusions. Number one, Mesira requires both parties to participate in the kinyan itself. And two, is that Mesira is actually better than Mashicha. It's more effective than Mashicha. Could be, by the way, that these two points are...
why? It's not a conclusion. It's just for this animal. The shit that doesn't work. It's not better.
Right. Could be.
In all cases.
Okay, point very well taken. Could be that these two points in Rashi are actually interconnected, meaning that it could be that the reason why Mesira is better than Mashicha is because when it comes to Mashicha, obviously there's a buyer and there's a seller, but in terms of who's doing the actual Maisa HaKinyan, who's doing the act, so it's only the buyer is doing an act. When it comes to Mesira, however, since both parties are participating in the Maisa HaKinyan, so it could be that that's why Rashi views the act of Mesira as a better form of Kinyan than that of Mashicha. So it could be, Tosfos doesn't make this connection, but it could be that these two points within Rashi are interconnected. Let's go back to the Mishnah. Let's read on the Mishnah. Now when it comes to small animals, so small animals can be done with Hagbah. Once again, now if you take a look at Rashi, fits in well to what we're saying. Rashi writes on the Mishnah, Hagbah v'lo b'mashicha. Rashi says, and not Mashicha. So once again, it sounds like from Rashi that in the pecking order, Mashicha is on the bottom. Right? Mesira is better than Mashicha. Hagbah is better than Mashicha. Mashicha will be on the bottom. So if I'm buying a small animal from somebody, so in order to create a kinyan, I have to lift up the animal. Divreb Meir. Rav Elazar, Divreb Meir, Rabbi Eliezer. V'chachamim Mormim, Behem Adak, Niknas, Mashicha. And on this point, the Chachamim disagree, and they say that a small animal can be acquired through Mashicha. Okay.
So, and according to Tanakama, when is Mashiach work? What kind of animal does it work on?
No. Meaning no. None. Mashiach will work by other metaltalin. You pull the box, pull the money, but other metaltalin, not animals. Okay, and again, Rashi Sfara is because ain't darka b'kach. That's not normally how it's done. Okay.
Makes more sense.
I understood. Okay, so the Darsh Rav Bikim Chunya. So Rav was out and about doing his rounds, his tours, and he was giving drashas, and he was in this town. And he said, "Behemagas, niknas b'mashicha." And so he darshened to everybody that if you want to acquire large animals, so the means of acquisition is mashicha. Now, that was Rav's statement. Now, when you look back over the Mishnah, so you realize Rav is right now in compliance with nobody. That's nobody's position in the Mishnah. So the Behemagasa can be acquired through Mesira. That is right now the only Shita in the Mishnah that we have. So you can only imagine now that what he's saying is controversial. So Ashchechinu Shmuel Tamida de Rav. So Shmuel found the students of Rav. Amar lahu miyama Rav. Behemagasa niknas b'mashicha v'anan b'mesira tanan. So the question that we're going to pose against Rav is a very simple question. That's not what it says in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says Mesira to the exclusion of Mashicha. And by the way, now you understand why Rashi said that back in the Mishnah. Because clearly over here, the question against Rav is, when the Mishnah said Mesira, it meant Mesira to the exclusion of Mashicha. So that's what that's what Shmuel asked the students of Rav. So how could Rav say that? So V'rav nami b'mesira. So, and v'hanam b'mesira tanan. V'rav nami b'mesira. And Rav also said that it should be done with mesira. Amar hada b'me'ahi. Who? So their response was that he retracted. The Amar ki aitana. And the Gemara now points out that Rav subscribes to a different tana. The tanya will enter the brisa of a chachamim, mormim, zuvazu, niknas, b'mashicha. According to the chachamim, both the large animals and the small animals can be acquired through mashicha. Rabbi Shimon Amar, zuvazu, b'hakba. And Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that both the large animals and the small animals can be acquired with Hagbah, which we're going to discuss in just a moment. Hagbah by large animals is really hard to understand and to imagine. So stay tuned, because we're going to ask that question in just a moment. But anyway, there is a Braisa, and this Braisa obviously doesn't agree with our Mishnah. And Rav goes off the board and doesn't side with our Mishnah, and Rav is siding with the Braisa for whatever reasons in terms of the svar of how you're going to choose a Braisa over a Mishnah. But however Rav navigates through that, Rav chooses a Braisa, and that's why, according to Rav, the kinyan can be done with a large animal through Mashicha, because that's what the Braisa says according to the Chachamim. Now, Maske lo Rav Yosef Elamiata Pila Rabbi Shimon Bamei Yiknes. So the Gemara chooses a large animal, so let's talk about an elephant. And according to Rabbi Shimon, the only means of kinyan is hagba'ah to the exclusion of everything else. So that means now that in order to create a kinyan on a large animal, specifically an elephant, not specifically, but even an elephant, so you have to do hagbah. Okay, lifting an elephant is no two humans, right? I guess levers and pulleys, but how are you going to lift an elephant? So Amalei Abaye bechalipin inami besochris makomo. So Abaye says, let's right, that you have a problem, you need a solution, so you have to think outside of the box. In this case, well outside the box, meaning okay, hagbah is not going to be an option. It's that simple. What you'll do in terms of making a kinyan on an elephant is you'll do a kinyan chalipin, as we talked about earlier in the Masechta. Chalipin is a universal. Chalipin works all the time for everything. Why didn't our Mishnah mention it? But that question we already asked and we already addressed. But let's readdress the question. How come our Mishnah didn't mention chalipin if it's such a universal means of kinyan? And the answer is because it's a universal means of kinyan. Because the Mishnah over here was only giving us methods of kinyanim that are specific to metaltolin. Our Mishnah did not want to give us the universal, much like in the previous Mishnah when we talked about how to acquire property. Or I should say, I'm sorry, in the upcoming Mishnah, when the Mishnah is going to tell us how to acquire property. So the Mishnah in the upcoming Mishnah is going to say Keser Shtarva Chazaka. How come the Mishnah over there doesn't mention Chalipin? Chalipin works. And the answer is because Chalipin is universal. And we're not interested in universal. The Mishnahs are only interested in those Kinyanim that are specific to the examples that are given the Mishnah. So, in terms of acquiring an elephant, so use Chalipin. That's number one. Number two, Inami Besochers Mekoma. And the second one is renting out the spot in which the elephant is on. Socher is mekomo. Now, socher is mekomo could be either a kinyan chatzir, that's one possibility, or as we're going to learn in just a little bit, it could be a kinyan agav. We'll talk more about that later on. But anyway, there are different ways to acquire an elephant. Rabbi Zera Amar, maybe arba kelim umagbi and tachas raglav. So Rabbi Zera says, no, I think you could do a hagba with an elephant. Now, obviously lifting the elephant will serve as tremendously difficult. So what you could do is you could take four kelim and have the elephant stand on your four kelim. So there is the elephant will be elevated off the ground. The elephant's not jumping off the ground, but the elephant's going to be elevated by standing on the kelim, and specifically they're going to be your kelim. So the Gemara says, Shamas mina kelv shalokech bershus mocher kana. So the Gemara says, really now? So does that mean that if you have your kelim in somebody else's property, so your kelim can acquire for you while it's in someone else's property? Now, as if you remember, we discussed this earlier in the Masechta, and the Gemara wants to stay away from this topic. This is the kind of topic where it is open to controversy. It's a controversial topic. It's a machlokus, and the Gemara just always wants to run away, sprint away from this topic as to whether or not it is kona or it's not kona. So the Gemara says, "Hachbe ma'iskin b'simta." So the Gemara says, "Okay, we don't have to get involved in this topic." Meaning, again, the question that got us going was, how do you acquire an elephant through hagbah? The answer is, have the elephant stand on your kalim. The question was, wait a second, where are the kalim right now? If it's in the mocher, if it's in the seller's property, so that means that your kalim can acquire for you while it's in someone else's property. And the Gemara says, and you know that's a controversial topic. To which the Gemara is now saying, well, what we're talking about is where the kelim are in a simta. Kelim are in a simta. Simta is not in the it's not a rishus harabim. It's off to the side of the rishus harabim. Rashi over here describes zavishaya eitz the rishus harabim ve'eino lo rishus harabim ve'lo rishus yachid. A simta is a alleyway, maybe a sidewalk. I'm not sure if that's a great example, but in other words, it's something that's off the side of the Rishus Rabim, so it doesn't have the status of Rishus Rabim. It's no one individual's property. It's not a Rishus Yachid, but because the Simta is a more out of the way location, so it can create a kinyan by having someone drop something into your kli in a Simta. But in a chinami, if it's in someone else's property, maybe it won't be kona. Again, all the Gemara just accomplished over there was, let's stay away from the topic of Kalev Shal Echad B'Rishus Shal Acher. Okay. The Gemara says, Inami, one last answer regarding the elephant. Bechavile Zemuros. Another way that you can have hagbah by an elephant is by using chavile zemuros. Now, chavile zemuros means vines. What exactly are we doing with the vines in terms of picking up the elephant? So once again, this is like one of those like mysteries, like riddles. Like, here you go. Here's the Gemara says, here's the elephant, here are the vines, and now you're going to be konit with hagbah. Okay, now go figure it out. It's a challenge. So if you take a look at Rashi over here on the top of the Amud, Bechavil is more, so Rashi writes, Hagavuim in Ha'arish Shlosh Tzfachim, Umolich in Aleim, Da'agba Shlosh Tzfachim Hagbahi, Denafkale Mitar Tzlafen. So Rashi over here says, you're not going to harness the vines around the elephant. I have this visual, which obviously is incorrect, meaning Rashi doesn't feel this way. Is that basically you're going to tie the elephant up with these vines and put him over a lever and pull on the vines? And that Rashi says no, that's not what we're doing. Rashi describes what we're doing is that you put the vines on the floor, elephant step on the vine, and once again you have agbah. Interesting over here, Rashi says it has to be 3 tefachim off the ground. 3 tefachim off the ground, why? So Rashi says why? Because we know we have a principle of Lovet. Lovet tells us that anything within 3 tefachim, as if it is still connected. So that's why Rashi says it has to be above 3 tefachim. So in other words, you got to stockpile the vines on the floor so that the elephant is going above 3 tefachim so that you can do a proper kinyan hagbah. That is Rashi. For another pshat, see Tosus, I'm not going to go through the Tosus right now, but there's also other ways to understand how exactly the vines are working in terms of the kinyan. And also the statement, I'm sorry, just one last point. The statement of Rashi, that it has to be 3 tefachim off the ground, so that is also open for another point of controversy and machlokas. Yes? Correct. Tosos has another way of how to use the vines in order to get the elephant... Okay. Anyway, yes. Right. Correct. Yes. That's basically what the Gemara is saying. Okay. Adkan, that takes us through to the end of this Mishnah. We're up to the next Mishnah. We're in Chaf Vav and Aleph, in the Mishnah on the top of the Amud. And our discussion right now is going to revolve around Kinyan Karka, how to acquire property. So again, the progression over here, you see how it's going. It went from Isha to Evid Ivri to Evid Kanani to animals. And now we're going to Karka. So we're heading towards inanimate objects, specifically property. So if I have property, the Mishnah here, over here does not use the word Karka. The Mishnah uses the word Nechasim Sheyesh LaMachreis. It has literally responsibility. It has a guarantee. What exactly does that term mean? So it's a reference to Karka. You take a look at Rashi. Rashi says it straight out. It's a reference to Karka. Sheachreis Kol Adam Halove V'Anoshe B'Chaver Aleihem. And the reason why it's called Achrayas is because it basically becomes your default guarantor. Every single time you borrow money, so there's you that's going to pay back the loan, and there's your property. Your property is going to co-sign in every loan that you take, which is correct, meaning that's called the lien on your property. So that's why it's called Nechasim Sheyesh LaMachrayas. It does guarantee. It guarantees every loan that you make. That's why people are samech. People rely on properties, right? You want to borrow money. You have any assets? You have any properties? Good. So then I'll lend you money because then I know that you have a built-in guarantor together with you, and that of course is going to be a property. That's why property goes with the name of nechasim sheyesh lahem achrayos. Okay, so property. So how do you acquire property? So the Mishnah says one of three ways: nikdim bekesef v'shtar v'chazaka. So it can be acquired with money, with a document, and with a chazaka. All three of them are going to be discussed in a little detail in the Gemara. We'll get to it in just a moment. She'ein la machrayos. So what if it is movables? It's inanimate objects, not animals. Animals was the previous Mishnah. Now we're just talking about inanimate objects. So how they are acquired? A nikdim ela b'mashicha. So the way to acquire that is through mashicha and only through mashicha. Meaning as opposed to the animals, we had hagbah, we had mesir, we had a big machlokis, we had a machlokis rishonim in terms of what the pecking order is. But in terms of inanimate, movable items, so the way to acquire them is mashicha. And then the Mishnah gives us a way to interconnect the property and the movables. Nechasim she'ein la machrayos, niknim im nechasim she'esh la machrayos. The Mishnah tells us that if I have nechasim that do not have achrayos, meaning movables, so they could be acquired with nechasim that has movables. The best way I can illustrate this and give an example is if you buy a house. So you buy a house. So again, all this is contract and stipulating the contract nowadays. But we're talking about right now simply a method of kinyan, how to make an acquisition. So once I transfer title on the house, so all the items that are inside the house also come along as part of the kinyan itself, meaning they're acquired through the same mechanism. So you can acquire movables through the karka, through the land. The Gemara, the big part of today's discussion in the Gemara, it's going to be the second half of today's daf, and it's going to go into tomorrow's daf as well, is do the movables have to be on the karka at the time in order to make the kinyan? Stay tuned, that's going to be a big discussion over the course of today. So, I'm sorry, back in the Mishnah, because of Ivshtar uvechazaka. And the Mishnah kind of repeats, not kind of, the Mishnah repeats that the way to create a kinyan on karka is through Kesef Shtar Chazaka. And when I'm doing this kinyan of what we're now going to call from this point going forward, kinyan agav. Agav means literally on top of, where if I throw the metalkalin onto the karka and I do a kinyan on the karka together with the karka, I also get the movables as well. Just for purposes of clarity, I hope everyone understands that it doesn't mean that it's a bonus. It doesn't mean that, you know, I get it for free. Obviously, everything has to be paid for. In other words, this is not coupon clipping right now. You're paying for everything. We're just talking about the means of kinyan. How do you acquire it? Because as the Mishnah told us, when it comes to metalton, the means of kinyan is meshicha. What the Mishnah is also now teaching us is that if the metalton are on the karka and I make a kinyan on the karka, so together with the karka, I also get the metalton as well. V'zokikin esen echasim sheish la'machreis lishava aleihem. And also one other point, and that is that when we know that there's a halacha that on occasion if there are disputes between two parties about money, so under certain circumstances you're going to have to make a shvua in order to claim that you actually don't owe the money. Perfect example, simple example would be modim b'miksas. If let's say somebody makes a claim against me and I admit that I own half the money, so then the Torah requires me to make a shvua that I don't own the other half. So there's another basic principle that there's a shvua that are made, but shvuas are not made on karka. Ein ishban ala karkas. You don't make a shvua on karka. Okay, there's a kasuv that's just simply it's part of the rules of making a shvua. So now what the Mishnah is teaching us is that once we've created a relationship between karka and metaltalin so that they are can be acquired the same way. Similarly, what the Mishnah is also teaching us is that they can also be linked, could be paired in terms of making a shvua as well. Under normal circumstances, I'm not going to be making a shvua on karka. But if the karka and the kelim are linked together, so if I'm going to be making a shvua on the kelim, I'm also going to be making a shvua on the karka as well. Okay. Again, that point we're also going to come back and we're going to discuss later on. When buying karka, so there are three ways to do it, says the Mishnah. One is kesef, two is shtar, and three is chazaka. The Gemara discusses now all three. The kesef minalan. How do I know that karka could be purchased with kesef? It is a funny question on the Gemara, in the sense that we discussed it already on day one of the Masechta, and day two. Back on Daf Beis and Daf Gimel, and I think it also went into Daf Dalet as well, if I remember correctly. So the Gemara says, how do I know that a man can marry a woman through kesef? And the Gemara says, we learn it through a gzereshav of kicha, kicha mizdei ef. So just like Avram Avinu, when he purchased Maras Machpelah, so he used money to purchase a property, and the Torah over there uses the word kach, so the Gzeres Shavah teaches us that when a man marries a woman and creating a kinyan on the woman, so also it can be done through money. So the Gemara's question over here, how do I know that money is a method of acquisition when it comes to buying property? And now the Gemara is going to quote a pasuk, so you would have expected that the Gemara is going to quote the pasuk from Avram Avinu, and it doesn't. And we'll see Tosfos in just a moment. Let's see the Gemara inside. Bekesef minalan. How do I know that kesef is a means of kinyan? Chizki Amar Amakra. Amar Chizki Amakra. Sados bekesef yiknu. He quotes the pasuk from Yirmiyahu. The pasuk in Yirmiyahu says that when you buy a field, you buy it with kesef. Okay. Ve'ema ad di'ika shtar. So the Gemara says, okay, but read on in the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, where it says that you're going to write this down in a document and you're going to seal the document. So it sounds like that the means of acquisition is going to be kesef and shtar. And that's not the point that we're trying to learn. We're trying to learn how kesef by itself is a means of kinyan. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, okay, listen. The Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, had the word Yiknu would have been reserved and placed at the back end of that Pasuk, meaning the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu first talks about the money, then talks about the shtar, and then says the word Kona, so then I agree with you. Then you'd be absolutely right that the method of kinyan is Kesef and shtar. Hasha dechsiv Yiknu mikara Kesef kini shtar raya ba'amahu. So, but the fact that it says the word Yiknu right after the word Kesef means Kesef is the kinyan. And in terms of what the shtar is accomplishing, shtar is just simply raya ba'alma. It's just simply proof, it's evidence that the sale was made. But the mechanism of the sale is going to be the money, not going to be the shtar. Back to our question that I asked a moment ago. How come the Gemara doesn't bring down the pasuk from Avram Avinu, which the Gemara earlier said is the source? So Tosus asked this question. Second Tosus on the Amud, short Tosos. So Tosos writes, Ah, delo aisi mikra dechsiv gabe Ephron, mishum de Dilma. So Tosus gives an answer. That transaction that was noted by Avram Avinu was from Avraham to Ephron. Ephron was not Jewish. And we know that when it comes to kinyanim with a non-Jew, so the only means of kinyan when it comes between Jew and non-Jew is only going to be through kesef.
I mean, I was
going to ask that question, but you beat me to it. Okay. But that's usually how these things work. So the... So Tosa says, so we know that the only way that you acquire through with a non-Jew is with Kesef. So therefore, it could be that Pasuk will be only specific between Jew and non-Jew. We're in our Mishnah discussing when a Jew is transacting with another Jew, so what's the means of acquisition? So that's why the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu is a better Pasuk, because it's describing a transaction between a Jew and another Jew, and the Torah over there describes Kesef, and the Navi, I should say, describes over there Kesef. That's Tosa's answer. What's difficult, and Ben thought about this as well, is that it's difficult because the Gemara earlier said, how do we know that when a man marries a woman, obviously marriage is Jew and Jew. It's the only kind of marriage. How do we know that when a Jew marries another Jew, so the method of kinyan is going to be kesef? So we learned it from the Gzeira Shava of Kicha, Kicha Mizdei Ephron. So Tosef's answer over here, it's weird. Strange, because Tosa's answer over here is that maybe that pasuk is specific to Jew and non-Jew. Okay, and so then what do you do with the Gzeira Shava earlier? Now, okay, anyway, let's just leave it off as it's a good question. Yeah, it's a good question. Okay, that would need a clarification. Back to our Gemara. Amar Rav. We are on Chavav Amud Aleph. We're a little bit after the Gemara, about a quarter of the way down, and the Gemara starts off a discussion. Lo shenu la b'makom shem kosim es hashtar. Ava b'makom shem kosim es hashtar lo kana. So the Gemara says, what if the minhag ha'makom is that the way that sales of property work is kesef and hashtar, and that's the general practice that's done. Rav is not arguing with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that kesef is a means of acquisition. It just happens to be that the common practice is that when we buy properties, we do it with kesef and with shtar, which parenthetically, that's what we do. Meaning that at the closing, so really the paperwork is part of, I understand I'm comparing halacha to the modern American system, but in the modern American system at the closing, and the money's transferred and the paperwork is signed. So the title is given over. So what if the method is the expectation is that it's kesef and shtar? So what Rav tells us, if that's the expectation going in, so then kesef by itself doesn't create a kinyan. Because remember, what are kinyanim? Kinyanim really are, if you distill a kinyan to its most basic definition, a kinyan is an understanding that there was a transaction that was done. That's what a kinyan is. So, if the general method is kesef and shtar, so then, if that's the general expectation, so then the kinyan is not done until there's kesef and shtar. Now, v'i parish parish, but Rav also points out, but if there's a clear communication between seller and buyer, where let's say the seller says to the buyer, we're only going to use kesef, or we're only going to use shtar. So if there's a clear communication between the two of them, so that's fine. But Rav says, but if the general expectation is that you need both. And then Gemara follows this up with a story. When Rav Yidi Bar Avin would be selling land, Amar I'm sorry, when he would be buying land, sorry. So the Amar ibeina bekasba ikne, ibeina bestar ikne, ibeina bekasba ikne, di ibaisel lemahadu lamatsisa hadrisu. So he would clearly stipulate whether or not this kingdom was going to be done with money or it was going to be done with shtar. So sometimes he would say, we're going to do this money with kesef. Why? So because he does not want the buyer to renege. So if once the money is handed over from one to another, so that's good. And sometimes he says it's going to be money and shtar, so that even after the money is transferred, there's still a chance, if he wants to be chozer. So again, depending on the kind of transaction that was being done, so he went into the transaction with a very clear communication of either it's going to be with kesef, it's going to be with shtar, and the Gemara says then sometimes he just kind of felt the transaction out in terms of which one is more beneficial to him. And there's no problem as long as there's a clear communication. Huh? No, that's exactly the point. You know, the shtar is a raya, it's a proof. The shtar could serve of one of two things. The shtar could either just simply be a proof that the transaction happened, but the actual mechanism of the transaction is money, or the shtar could be the actual mechanism itself. And sometimes, because the expectation is that you need kesef and shtar, so sometimes you need both. But no, the shtar by itself does not necessarily create the kinyan. Uvishtar. Okay, so we had a source describing kesef. Now we're up to number two. A second way of creating a kinyan by a property is by shtar. Minalim, the Gemara says, now how do I know that? Elim and Mishum Dechsiv. So maybe it's based on the pasuk because of Besefer V'chasom. So the Torah says that you're going to put the you're gonna sell the property. This is back in the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, and you're gonna transfer with money, and you're gonna put a and you're gonna sign the. And you're going to sign the document. So the Gemara says, "Vahaed edim, v'amar shtar raya ba'amu." The Gemara says, "Yeah, but just a couple of minutes ago, the Gemara said that is just simply a shtar raya. It's just proof. That's not the actual king itself." Elamehacha. So the Gemara says, "Okay, v'akach et sefer hamikne." So the Gemara says, "Oh, we have another pasuk over there in Yirmiyahu where it says that you take the sefer hamikne, which means that the sefer itself, the document itself, is what's creating the kinyan." Amar shmo lo shanu ala b'shtar matana v'abemecher lo kana achiitein lo dam. So the Shmuel says that this is only true when the way that the property is being given over is matana. However, if the property was a sale, so then it's not going to be a valid sale. The sale will not be finalized until the money is handed over. So Masav Rav Hamanuna Bishtar Ketzad. So Rav Hamanuna challenges based on the Braisa. And the Braisa over here says pretty clearly how exactly is a transaction done with the document. The Kasav Lo Al Haniyar. Oh, alacheres! You write on paper. You write on a shard or earthenware shard. Afa pishemem shava pruta, and even though it does not have the value of a pruta, sidi mechur alach, sidi nesuna alach. My property is going to be sold to you. My property will be gifted to you. I raise a mechuru nesuna. Either way, it's going to be sold or it's going to be gifted. Sounds pretty clear from this braisa that the shtar creates the kinyan both in terms of a sale and in terms of a gift. And Shmuel was making the argument that shtar by itself only works by gift, not by sale. Who most of love mefarikly. He quotes the braisa, but then he answers, and the answer is b'mocher sadeh mimnei rasa. So there, the sale was done, but the sale was done under really poor conditions. What does that mean? So once again, let's turn to Rashi. Rashi explains why should this be different. Mimnei rasa. Rashi writes denichale delikne le shtara lelokech yehech delamatz lamahad. Because once again, what's at the core definition of every type of kinyan is an understanding that this was sold. If I am in a desperate situation and I right now need the money and I need to sell the property and I'm in desperate need to sell the property, so under those circumstances, so a shtar by itself is going to create the kinyan. Why? Because since I'm so interested in selling the property, so just the shtar by itself is going to create the kinyan. I need the sale to be finalized. I understand the money is important. That's why I'm selling the land. And obviously I need to recoup the money that, you know, for the sale, but I want the sale to be finalized. I'm so prepared the shtar by itself is going to work. Granted, by the way, that it's going to be really hard to put a line in the sand in terms of determining when the sale was done out of distress and duress, and when the shtar by itself is going to serve as a method of kinyan. But the Gemara says that's one way to explain the braisa. The Gemara says, Rav Ashi Amar b'matana b'keish litna lo. So Rav Ashi says, no, let's keep this braisa totally limited to an act of matana. Meaning when it comes to a sale, so you need a shtar and you need money. And Rav Ashi says, and let's keep that as an absolute. And let's not make any type of delineation, selling it under duress, not under duress, no. When you're selling property, there needs to be kesef and there needs to be shtar. In terms of the braisa that we just learned together, that really was a matana. So then, what obviously needs an explanation is, if it really was a matana, why are you using the word mechura lach?
Right.
So the Gemara says, v'lama kasav la'lashon mecher, kedei le'yafas is kocho. The reason why the word mecher is used is in order to strengthen his position. How does that strengthen his position? You take a look at Rashi. So Rashi says, kedei le'yafas is kocho. It's the next Rashi. It's a little bit below where we are in the Gemara. Rashi writes, "Achmasis menosim matana mayri v'kula chadihi v'lav o kitani." So it's not, the Bryce is not giving two examples. The Bryce is speaking about one example specifically, a gift. Ella kach v'kach kasav lo stei mechurach v'nesun alach liyafos es kocho sheim yigben abachov shall no stein mimenu yashuv alav litbo mimenu damim hamefurashim. So, the word mechura is placed in the contract because it strengthens the giftee's position. Why? Because now, let's say, there's a lien on the property. Now, with a lien on the property, so that means that a creditor of the gifter can come along and take the property. And it doesn't matter if the property was sold or if it was gifted, it doesn't matter. In other words, there's a lien on the property. And so a creditor can come now and take the property away. Now, if it was just a gift by itself, so is there any recourse now that the giftee is going to get? And of course not. In other words, it was a gift. He didn't pay for it. So what kind of recourse is there going to be? However, what the gifter wanted to do, for reasons which, you know, you have to think of what the motivation would be. But what the gifter wanted to do was want to really strengthen and empower the giftee so that even if the land was taken away from him, he would have recourse and he can go after the gifter and say, hey, you gifted me the property, but then it was taken away from me. And can you compensate me back for the property that was taken away? Now, normally, under normal circumstances, that's called chutzpah. that's You were given a gift. The gift was taken away from you. I demand the value of that gift. That's normally called chutzpah. But in this case, again, for reasons which I can't articulate, the gifter decided, you know what? I want to make sure that the gift is going to be a real gift, which means that if it's taken away from him, I'm going to make good on it. How does he do that? By writing the word mechura in the document. Okay. The Gemara says that's the Rav Ashi says that's what's happening in that particular braisa.
Yeah, because the reason he wanted to really get rid of it because the feel was a bad quality.
Okay.
He didn't want to have it anyways.
Could be.
He didn't want it back.
Could be. Okay. Uvichazaka. And now we're up to the third way that a person acquires property, and that's chazaka. Again, I made this point before, but let's say it again. Don't confuse. There's the third parak of Baba Basra. We're not talking about the third parak of Baba Basra. The third parak of Baba Basra talks about a squatter's right and a squatter's right to own a property by sitting on the property uncontested for 3 consecutive years. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking right now when we say the word chazaka, and it's confusing because the Gemara over there uses the word chazaka. And we're using the word chazaka over here. But what we're talking about is doing a proprietary act to the property, clearly demonstrating that the property belongs to you. That is what chazaka over here means. And it's a mechanism of kinyan. And again, just to reiterate, of course it doesn't mean that at that point in time, you own the property and you don't have to pay for it. Obviously, you have to pay for it. We're just talking about the mechanism in which the kinyan is effective. So the Gemara says, "V'chazaka minalan amechiska amakra v'shavu ba'arechem asher tafastem." So you sat in the land in which you were tofis, in which you grabbed. Ba'mat tafastem. How did you grab it? Ki be'yeshiva. In other words, by the actual settlement of the land, by doing a proprietary act. Debe Rabbi Yishmael Tanav Yerashtim Osav Yishavtim Ba Bameh Yerashtim Be Yeshiva. Quotes the pasuk from Parshas Ekev. You will settle in the land, and you'll be Yoresh. You'll inherit the land, and you will settle in the land. How are you Yoresh? With Yeshiva, again, a proprietary act. So now when we're talking about movable items can only be acquired with Mashiach. We quote the pasuk from Parshas Bahar, right? It's like really like base Parshas Bahar like comes up again and again throughout the first parak of Kiddushin. So the pasuk in Parshas Bahar describes that when you're acquiring movable items, so it's miyad liyad. So Ula Rav Yochanan Dama Dvar Torah Maos Konos Ma'ikal Ameimar. Now according to Rav Yochanan, wait 1 second. Now there's a basic machlokas in the Gemara Bamitzia, and the Gemara references this machlokas often. Here's an example where according to Rav Yochanan, Maos Konos, that money itself also creates an acquisition. So that when I pay for an item, so I'm doing two things. I'm compensating for the value of the item, and the money according to Rav Yochanan also creates a kinyan, so that I acquire the movables. By property, there's no machlokas, that's a rule. Money acquires property. We're talking about movables. Rav Yochanan's of the opinion that Maos or Konos. So now, according to Rav Yochanan, Mashiach is not the only way to acquire property. Money is also a way to acquire property. So according to Rav Yochanan, what's our Mishnah doing? When our Mishnah says that the only way to acquire movables is Mashiach. So Tana Takanta de Rabbana Ketani. So the Gemara says like this. According to Rav Yochanan, what our Mishnah is teaching us is a Takana de Rabbanan, a rabbinic institution. What is the rabbinic institution? It goes like this. According to Rav Yochanan, right, you have a silo of wheat. Okay, good. I'm going to come over. I want to buy it. You know what? Here's the money. Now, according to Rav Yochanan, the kinyan has now been affected. I now own the wheat, even though I haven't come over and picked it up yet. Okay. Now what happens? Silo's on fire. Yeah. Owner of the silo says, you know what? It's not my wheat. Okay. You know, he takes out his marshmallows, puts it on a stick, roasts it by the fire. It's not my wheat, not my problem. Okay, as far as the silo is concerned anyway, it needed to go down. Okay, so the Chachamim were worried about this, and the Chachamim, in order to create a more secure buying environment, so what the Chachamim instituted is that even though Min HaTorah, money creates an acquisition, but to protect the buyer, what the Chachamim legislated is that the kinyan is not going to be fully ratified until Mashiach is done. And that will incentivize the seller to make sure to take care of the goods until the goods are actually transferred. Okay. This is part of the Takanas Chachamim to create a better and safer selling environment. So the Gemara says, fine. And that's what our Mishnah is doing. Meaning, according to Rav Yochanan, yes, money does create a kinyan. But then what the Chachamim did is they stepped in and they said, but we are going to legislate. And what the Mishnah is reflecting is the legislation of the Chachamim. Let's continue. Nechasim she'en l'machrayos minah animili amachiske amachral. What we learned in the Mishnah, and what we'll be spending the rest of today discussing, is that I can create a kinyan on movable items together with property, what we call kinyan agav. Gemara says, how do I know that? So the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Divrei Hayyamim, Yitein Lahem Aviyim Matanos, Im Arei Mitzuros B'Yehuda. So the key word over there is im, together with, meaning that in conjunction with the property, the movables are going to be sold as well. Okay, we have a source, and now we have a question, and this question will take us to the rest of today's daf, into tomorrow's daf. And that is the following. We have a kinyan now known as kinyan agav. We have a source. The question is a really simple question. In order to facilitate kinyan agav, where I'm going to be acquiring property and movables, do the movables have to physically be sitting on top of the property in order to effectuate this kinyan agav? Or no? Maybe what I'm going to do from you is I'm going to buy your house and I'll buy your car. Okay, and the car doesn't have to be sitting on the property itself. And when I give you the money, so my kinyan is going to work for both the house and for the car. It's a simple question. And does the car have to be sitting on the property? And I'm just giving an example, but that's the question. Do all the, when I'm using agav, does the movables have to physically sitting on the property itself? So the Gemara's question, do I need siburim or do I not need siburim? The word siburim, sibur means the congregation. But over here, together. Right? She Rashi, last Rashi on the Amish, you also metaltan munachim beoso karka. Do I need the metaltan to be sitting on the karka in order for this method of kinyan to work? Yes or no? And so I'm telling you right now that we're going to be discussing this question for the duration of today's daf, and the discussion will not come to a conclusion until tomorrow's daf. Okay, so let's start. Tashma. I'm sorry, Amar of Yosef. Tashma.
Is it different than
chutzah? Yes.
It is.
Yes. Chatzer has to be a chatzah mishtameris. When it comes to kinyan agav, yeah, I just it's the one answer that I know, and like I'm comfortable saying that kinyan chatzer, the kinyan chatzer, the chatzer has to be mishtameris. We learned that back in Gittin. Kinyan agav, no. Okay. So Amar of Yosef Tashma. Rabbi Kiva Omer Karka Kol Shehu Chayavis. So Rabbi Kiva teaches us the following. Any amount of karka, it doesn't matter how much is chayavis bepeya. So you have to have, there's a mitzvah peya giving off a corner. Now I know over here we're talking now microsurgery. You have a small piece of property and you got to give a corner off, but okay, there's a chiv peya and bikurim. And regardless of the size of the field, one tree, one fruit, doesn't matter. There's a mitzvah of bikurim. And the licht of aleha prizbol. Okay. Velichav aleha prizbol. Also, we learned back in Gittin, Daf Lamed Vav, Daf Lamed Zayin, that there's a special institution that the Chachamim did to circumvent the Shemitah, the cancellation of loans, and that is by writing up a prizbol. One thing we learned back in Gittin is Ein Kosin prizbol Ela Al HaKarka. So if the borrower has property, and only if the borrower has property, can you write up a prizbol. But if the borrower does not have property, then you cannot write up a prizbol. Back in Gittin, we gave a couple of explanations of why that is. Right now, for our purposes, we just need to know that it is. Meaning that's the halacha. How much property does the borrower need? That's what Rav Yochanan is teaching us right now. Kolshu, there could be any amount of property. V'liknos ima nechasim she'en l'machrayos. And finally, the last halacha is that in terms of any amount of property can create a kinyan agav. So now what does that mean? So that means that regardless of the size of the property, it could be a property where I'm going to be taking this paperclip and putting it on top of that property, and that's all the property that I have, as long as I have any amount of property, so we can have now a kinyan agav. So lamai chazi. So now the Gemara says, so now if we're talking about a small amount of property, I really am going to use a kinyan agav? What am I going to put on a small amount of property? To which the Gemara's answer is, Tegem Rav Shmuel bar, Bisna kamei de Rav Yosef, kigon shenatzbo machat. Oh, so good, I'm holding a paperclip today. So the Gemara says, okay, so what do you mean? So I want to acquire the paperclip, and I want to acquire the small amount of property. Paperclip on the property. Okay, good. And I'm going to pay for the property and agav. And now the mechanism of agav allows me to acquire both the property and the paperclip. So Amale Rav Yosef Kavastan. So Rav Yosef says Kavastan. Now I don't know exactly what that word means, but if you say it with enough venom and enough anger, so you kind of get the idea. And Rashi over here says Tsiartani. Like it's what a nudnik, right? A paperclip ich boltan la ashmin and machat. Really, you think the Bryce is going to go through the trouble of teaching us all these halachas so that I now know how to acquire a paperclip? Like, come on. So, Amar Rav Ashi, Man Lemalan, Delo Talabe, Marganisa, Deshalfe, Avazuz. This is what the Gemara says. Okay, let's be a little bit creative over here. Let's use a little bit of imagination. Okay, how about instead of a paperclip, so now it's a diamond ring. Same basic size, and the diamond ring now is sitting on that small amount of property. Or is that a little more exciting, right? That's the Tana, it's worth the Tana's troubled time to teach us that halacha if the diamond ring is sitting on the property, and now agav the property, I'm also going to acquire the diamond ring as well. The Gemara says, okay, that's a little bit better, right? Okay. We'll pause here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. Let's just quickly summarize. We did the Mishnah regarding Behema Gasa. How do you acquire Behema Gasa, Behema Daka? Many opinions amongst the Tanaim exactly how to do it. According to Rashi, like we said in the beginning of today's shiur, Mishicha is at the bottom of the ladder in terms of acquiring animals. Mishicha is at the very bottom. Above that is Mesira. We didn't discuss this, but Hagba may even be above that as well. Rav says that when you're acquiring animals, whether big or small, so Rav says that you use Mishicha. Rav is going against our Mishnah. The Gemara acknowledges that's correct. Rav is going against our Mishnah. A fun discussion. The Gemara today, according to Rabbi Shimon, where the only way to acquire animals is with Hagbah. How do you acquire elephants? Okay, that was the riddle that the Gemara attempted to solve. And then we talked about the acquisition of properties and movables. Inanimate. Properties and movables. Properties, Kesef Shtar Chazaka. The Gemara gave us a source for each one of them. For movables, Mashicha and only Mashicha. According to Rav Yochanan, why would the Mishnah be talking about Mashicha when Ma'os or Konos min HaTorah? Answer, the Mishnah is coming to teach us the legislation that was done by the Takana in order to protect the buyer. The question that the Gemara dealt with for the duration of today's daf, starting on the bottom of Chavav Amad Aleph and continuing well into Chavav Amad Beis, which we didn't finish yet today, but we'll finish it tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, is Siburim. Do I need the movables to be sitting on the property itself? That's the question. We are right now in the middle of answering that question.